Good morning.
Good morning.
Aren't the kids awesome this morning? The second song that Beth chose this morning, you know, it amazes me how God works through so many different people who bring together our worship service. As you know, I share the scriptures with her and with Myra, and God just seems to use it in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. And part of my message this morning is my story. So, you know, this is my story, and I pray that all that I do brings honor and glory to our Lord and Savior. But if I could cry, which most of you know, since my brain surgery, I have no tears, I can tell you, I would have shed millions of tears over what is happening in the United Methodist Church right now. But do you know that this is an issue that has plagued the church since 1972? 1972. We're now in 2020. I'd like you to think about that. Yeah, I was born and raised in the United Methodist Church, taken there from the time I was a baby. I became confirmed at the age of 12. At the age of 14, I felt God's call on my life to ministry. I didn't answer that call. However, I stayed very involved in the United Methodist Church. I became chair of the administrative board at the age of 19. I remained involved in the church all of my life, except for a short period of time that I left the United Methodist Church. One thing John Wesley said is think and let think. And I didn't truly understand that until I left the United Methodist Church. I left the United Methodist Church and I went to several different churches seeking and searching what God had for me. I came to the realization, though, that I am United Methodist. And so I once again came back to the United Methodist Church. I became involved in the church. I became involved in the ministries of the church. I became involved in ministries in my community and as well as some missions outside of my local community until I answered my call to be a United Methodist pastor at the age of 44. I'll be honest with you, in 1972, I had no idea that this was even an issue in the United Methodist Church. How many of you who have been in the United Methodist Church since 1972 knew in 1972 that this was an issue? No one. In 1980, I didn't know it was an issue. I would say maybe around 1984 was the first time that I had heard that we had an issue in the United Methodist Church surrounding our brothers and sisters who are different than us. An issue which has caused a lot of hurt and heartache to a lot of people. An issue that now in 2020 is probably going to cause a split in our church. I just have to trust God that those who come to General Conference are open to His Holy Spirit to hear His voice of how it is that He is guiding us as His church. And that has been my prayer. And I hope it's been your prayer as well. I hope you've been praying for our General Conference and praying for the representatives who will be going to General Conference from around the world. But as I have been praying, I've also heard God speaking to me saying, that's not the only division in the church. It might be the big division that's being discussed at General Conference year after year since 1972. But there are many other divisions within the United Methodist Church. Divisions in your local churches. And this may be one issue that is a division in the local churches. If I were to poll you, and I'm not going to, but if I were to poll you and say, I'd like you to show support of you believe and support the LGBTQI community to have full rights in the United Methodist Church, there would be those who would stand up and support that. And if I said, if you support the Book of Discipline as it is written now, please stand up. There would be those who stood up for that as well. I have already been told that there are people who have left the United Methodist Church, right here in Tyrone, in fact, because of this issue. People who have been worshiping in the United Methodist Church since 1972 or before, who are now leaving. It breaks my heart. But we need to look at our churches. We need to see that our churches are in decline. And when we go and we invite people to come and worship with us, how many of you have ever done that and somebody has said, well, I'm not worshiping with you because the United Methodist Church is in this dispute? My friends, there are many more excuses. That is not one excuse I have ever heard. But I've heard many excuses of why people aren't coming to church. It's the little issues that come out of a church that often keep people from coming into a church. We are a family. We are a family that has been joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that being part of a family means we're not always going to agree with each other, are we? But oftentimes what happens is when we don't agree with one another, or we don't agree with the majority in their thinking, we take it outside the four walls of the church. We take it to family members, maybe those who don't attend. We take it to our friends who are willing to listen to us. We take it to the local coffee shop or the local restaurant. And so when people hear us speaking negatively about our church or someone in our church family or the pastor, do you think that encourages them to want to come and become part of this family, to take part in something that is bigger than themselves? People look in outside organizations. They look in organizations such as the Fire Company or the Elks or the Legion or other organizations that are in our community, and they see that the same things are happening in those organizations, and yet it's not having the same effect. Those organizations aren't in decline to the point that they're not able to take care of things. What is the difference? The difference is people think differently about the church. They think that the church is to show us how to love one another. When they think about the church, they think about what it means to be together. What they don't think about is that every single one of us that are here is a sinner. Every single one of us that are here are just like them. except we know or we're seeking to know Jesus. But the church is the place that the people of the community look to for an example of what it means to be united, of where people come and work together for a common good. That's exactly what Paul's talking about in his letter this morning. The very first words of the scripture that David read to you this morning says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." Now, does that mean that we're all going to think alike? Most definitely not. We don't know what these subdivisions were in the church, other than when Paul goes on to talk about those leaders in the church, it appears as if those divisions are caused because of who people are following in the church, of where they may have the same mind thinking as them, and so they think that that is where they should be aligned. Not an unheard of problem in the church, is it? Down through the generations, even to the day. We see it happen all the time. But my prayer is that we not allow it to happen to us. Perhaps we need to look at what it means to be in unity in the church. For some people, I think they think that, well, everybody has to think the exact same way. We have to all be doing the exact same things. See, too often, people equate unity with uniformity. Too often, people equate unity with uniformity. And so, when there isn't that uniformity, when you aren't following the matriarch or the patriarch of the church or the group that has set the standard for the church, then you don't belong. But we're not here to follow people. We're here to follow Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling us. So what is unity? Unity is the fact that we are brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. That we have a common purpose and a common goal. And that common purpose and common goal is to transform lives. Transform lives. We can't transform them, but we can introduce them to the one who can. But when they don't see us being able to live and work together, what does that tell them? See, unity is always in the midst of diversity. We're a diverse people. God didn't make us the same. It'd be pretty boring if he did. And he made us all unique. He gave us different ideas. He gave us different perspectives. He gave us different personalities. But he brought us all together. He brought us all together. But we need those variety of gifts. We need those variations of each person and the different personalities so that we can be the church together to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of Jesus for the transformation of the world. But the world can only be transformed when hearts are transformed. And hearts can only be transformed through Jesus Christ. And so it is our responsibility to introduce people to that saving grace, to that free gift of salvation that is offered to them. So we have been called to be the church despite our differences. In fact, it's in our differences that God uses us. It's how we work together at God's calling to be a beacon of light in this community. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, "For it has been reported to me by close people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you say, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided?" What are the people of Tyrone hearing when they hear about us? Do they hear people saying, "I belong to Wesley Church. I belong to Christ Church. I belong to the part of the community that supports the LGBTQI community. I support the Book of Discipline and what it currently says." Or do they say they belong to Christ? Do they see a group divided, or do they see a group united because of the blood of Jesus? Do they see a group united because we want to be working together to serve our risen Savior? Do they see a group united because we want to share the love of Jesus Christ to people who are hurting and don't yet know that love? As Paul asked the church in Corinth, is Christ divided? I ask you that question, is he? Is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. And if it is in him that we serve, if it's in his name that you and I serve, then we should be able to do that together, despite our differences. Not because we're always going to think alike, because my friends were not, but because we want others to know that love for their lives. Because we don't want any left behind. In our Isaiah lesson this morning, we heard about the darkness and the chaos that was surrounding the people at that time. But the light was with them. And my friends, the light is with you and I. And it's a great light. A light of hope. A light of joy. A light of peace, and a light of love. So despite our differences, I pray that that light is shining in us. And this is what we need to remember. No matter how small that flame may be, a flame can always be fueled to shine brighter. So I pray that our light is fueled to shine brighter, and not snuffed out in darkness. May our light lead someone else onto the path that leads to the cross of Christ. Amen.